We've been talking about the presence of the Lord. By the way, Pastor Joe had a great message last Sunday. Ten takeaways, great takeaways that we can have about the presence of the Lord. It was absolutely awesome. Nice job, Pastor Joe. I've been talking about we have a problem. I think we have a problem in America, and that's that we've slowly walked away from God. I think over the years, the things that were important in our society have become less important, especially spiritual things. And I think we've kind of walked away from God. We've kicked him out of our school systems, in a sense, that the idea we don't want to pray in our school systems. The Pledge of Allegiance becomes a little bit different. I mean, you can't sing a nice Christian song for a Christmas production. Things have changed. We've wandered. We've wandered away from God. And when you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. And when you wander away from truth, you're susceptible to all the lies of the enemy. And he is full of it, believe me, all right? The devil is full of it, for sure. And I think that we need a visitation from God in America today. The answer is a visitation from God. We need the very presence of the living God to move and to do things that only he can do. We need to invite him back into America, back into our lives, back into our society, rather than asking him to please patiently sit on the sidelines while we figure out better things to do. I've been talking about how the presence of God through Scripture, the very first time the presence of God is used is when Adam hid from his presence. The second time it's used is when Cain ran from the presence of the Lord. Another time is used when Jonah, he doesn't want the presence of God. He moves away from it, goes to Tarshish, which is the exact opposite of where God wanted him to go. And it's the reverse or the opposite of what God wanted for him. We start realizing when we start walking away from the presence of God, not so good things are the results of what happens. So I want to speak this morning upon a person, a hero of the faith, who wanted, who desired, who ran after the presence of the Lord. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, we're going to read from Exodus 33, 12 through 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." You may be seated. Thank you. Moses, a man who wanted the presence of the Lord. We talked about these other three who ran from the presence of the Lord. But we look at Moses, and he wants the presence of the Lord. God's put him in a very difficult task, and he needs the presence of the Lord. I think about Moses as he's delivering the people, kind of a precursor to where we are right here. He's delivering the people from Egypt through the wilderness with lots and lots of miracles that are taking place. God opens up the Red Sea and they go through. Now that would be quite a sight, don't you think? To sit there at the Red Sea and have it open up and you walk through it with the water standing on either side. They go through and then they have bitter water. They throw a tree in and it becomes sweet. They get water from a rock and all of a sudden he knocks the rock and water comes out of a rock. They wake up every morning and all of a sudden they have manna out on the field and they're eating bread from heaven. What an experience these people went through. What an experience they go through. And now we come to the point, he's at Mount Sinai, he's just received the Ten Commandments, he's coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and all the people have made a what? A golden calf, right? They made a golden calf, didn't know where it was going to happen to Moses, so they're making another god already. Moses comes down, busts the Ten Commandments. He's asking and he says this. He says, "All those who are on the Lord's side, Because they're having this big party and they're worshiping another god. All that are on the Lord's side come here, over here. And all of the Levites, it said, came over by Moses. You see, the Levites didn't partake of what was going on. And God does something right then. When all of the Levites came over and then they end up, a few die in this whole debacle that's happening here. But God does something all of a sudden that's completely different. When they left Israel and they killed the firstborn of every person who didn't have the blood on the door, the Lord said that the firstborn were going to belong to the Lord. They were intended to be the Lord's priests. But what the Lord did right here is instead of taking the firstborn, he decided to take the Levites as the ones who would serve, as those who would minister unto the Lord. Something happened right here because of what they did. They took a stand for God and God took a stand for them. And he did something in a powerful way and gave them a privilege that nobody else got. I think that if we stand for God, he'll do some amazing things for us. Even though it may be difficult in the situation we're at, even though everybody else is doing something different, if we'll stay true to the Lord and take a stand for him, God is going to do something in our lives that's, I believe, absolutely incredible. As Moses gets ready to leave Mount Sinai now and to continue the journey to the promised land, this is where this scripture starts to take place. Let me dissect a little bit for us. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people. You say to me, take them into the promised land." All right. What a job already. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of complaining going on. A whole lot of things happening. And Moses is, I could see just pulling his hair out, man, going, this is a tough people. God called them a stiff-necked people. He wanted to get rid of them. And Moses intercedes for him and says, "No, don't do that, Lord. You know, they're your people. I know they're stiff-necked, but we need them. Bring up this people. Take them to the promised land." And I could see Moses here as he's trying to figure out, this is a tough job. "But you have not let me know whom you will send with me." I think we all need help in our journey. We all need help in accomplishing what God has asked us to do. I am so thankful for all the leadership in this church and all the people who are functioning in so many service opportunities and things in this house, because we could not do any of that without you. We couldn't lead. I couldn't lead the people anywhere without all of you who are involved in making this happen. And you need to know that we are so very, 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 very thankful for each and every one of you. Because we're in this together. This has never been a one-man show. This is a God show, and he uses all the body of Christ, each of us in our giftings and each of us in our functions. And I'm so glad that you're functioning, and I'm so glad that you're willing to give of yourself. I'm so thankful for the team. Moses, you know, here he is. He's asking all this, you know, "Whom will you send with me?" He's asking for this because he couldn't just go on YouTube and get a video on how to deliver people from Egypt. I mean, it just wasn't there at this time. He's searching. He's looking. He's asking, and his answer comes from the Lord. "Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." It's interesting. He's going to say this five times in this passage we're going to go through. Five times the words, "You have also found grace in my sight." Boy, we need grace, don't we? Thank God that we find grace in his sight. That word grace means kindness or favor. Favor. We realize it's an unmerited favor. It's not because of anything that we did or how good we are. It's this unmerited favor that God gives us just because he's so awesome, just because his nature is so good, just because he takes all of the blame for us, if you will, as what he did with Christ on the tree at Calvary. He takes all the blame, pays all the penalty, and lets us go free. What a concept, this concept of grace, this unmerited favor. Favor, you're his favor, you're his favorite. You know, I mean, we think about a favorite sports team. We want to watch it all the time, right? I mean, the Seahawks aren't playing today. I'm bummed. They're not on today. That's their bye week. Bummer. I wanted to watch them. I look forward to that. When you're a favorite or favorite teen, there's something that's there. When you have a place to eat that's a favorite or something that you just enjoy. When it's your favorite, you look forward to it. You're God's favorite. He looks forward to you. He looks forward to when you get up in the morning. He looks forward to it when you open up your Bible and start dissecting it out. He looks forward to it when all of a sudden you start praying to Him, when you start believing in Him, when you start interceding. He looks forward to that time of connection together. You're His favorite. So He looks forward to it. He's waiting for you. Hey, come, let's talk. Now, therefore, I pray, if, second time he says it, I have found grace or favor or kindness in your sight, if that's where I'm sitting, I want to ask you, Lord, for four things. Here are four things that I think every Christian should ask the Lord for. Moses right here, the hero of the faith, Moses is going to ask the Lord for four things, and he's going to do it right in a row here, one right after another. And I want to go through them with you because I think it's what we needs to be in our heart as well. So he says, if I have found favor, grace in your sight, number one, show me now your way. Show me now your way. The word way, direct, it means a road, a course of life or mode of action. Basically, it's your walk. It's the road of life that you're on right now. Your walk, your destination, your life, if you will, as you're walking it. What you do in the morning and where you go for work and what you do on your weekends. It's what you're doing. It's your life. It's your life. It's your lifestyle. It's who you are. It's what you're walking. It's what's important to you. It's what you do. Show me now your way. Your way. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, I'll take God on my terms. That's not really Christianity. I don't know what that is when you say, I'll take God on my terms. But it doesn't work that way. He's got a different way. I mean, he sets the terms and we have the privilege of walking in those terms. Moses, though, didn't want his own way. He wanted to know God's way. He did his own thing for 80 years, right? 40 years he was in Egypt. 40 years living in the house of Pharaoh. He growing and enjoying and all that, doing whatever he wanted, growing as he wanted to. And then 40 years in the backside of the desert. 40 years herding sheep and just raising a family, doing all of that. He did all that he wanted to do. But now he's coming to a point in his life where he's saying, you know, life isn't fulfilling just doing what I want to do. Life becomes fulfilling when I realize the purpose and destiny that's been given to me. The reason you've planted me on this planet. The reason you've given me life and breath. You've given me purpose. You've given me destiny. You've given me things to do and things to accomplish. And you've given me purpose to advance your kingdom. And all of a sudden, Moses comes to the point of realizing, I want that. I don't want my way anymore. I don't want to just do what I want to do. I want to do what you want to do. I want to accomplish it your way. He finally didn't want to talk God into blessing his way. He wanted to know God's way so he could fulfill the call that God had placed on his life. I don't care what you're doing and where you are in life. God has a call on your life. Well, no, he hasn't called me into the ministry. Oh, yeah, he has. You may not get paid for it. You may not be in full-time ministry. It may not be your quote-unquote job, but it is your ministry. He's given you a life to live and a road to walk that in every spot you might be planting seeds somewhere for the kingdom of God. He's given you purpose and destiny and reason to be alive. people to talk to, people to encourage, people to help correct with a kind and loving hand so they don't go in the wrong direction. He's giving you a life. You could live it for Him, not for us. I lived a lot of my life for me growing up. I'll tell you what, it's much better when you live it for Him. He says, and I like here, He goes, show me now your way. Show me now. I don't think it's an arrogant now. I don't think He's saying with arrogance and demandingness. I want it now. I want it now. Anybody who wants it now and gets their own way now, we have a term for that. We call them a brat, right? You know, what a brat. I want it. You know, in the supermarket when the kid goes, Mom, I want the sucker. And Mom says no. And you go, ah! And then all of a sudden, Mom gives them the sucker. They know how to do it. I don't know who's the sucker in that. But anyway. It's not when you get your own way. I want it now. I think we become a brat there. But He says, I'm finally ready, Lord. I get it. I get it. I understand it now. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done it my own way, and I realize that's not the best way. And I get it. But now, Lord, I know I was 40 years in Egypt thinking I was a top dog and everything was great and everything was wonderful and wow. And then I was on the backside of the desert just trying to. But Lord, now, You've given me I realize my calling and I'm ready now. I'm ready now. I'm ready to give up me for Thee. I'm ready to give up me for Thee. Are you ready now? Are you ready? Have you lived enough life on your own that you realize it isn't satisfying? Even when you get it, you go, it's hollow. Because there's no purpose, destiny. There's nothing beyond self in it. I get it, He says. My question, do we want to show God our will and ask Him to bless it? Or do we want God to show us His will and ask Him to bless and anoint us as we fulfill it? I'd rather Him not bless it and bless me. I don't want Him to bless it, my plan. I want Him to bless me and anoint me and feel the blessing that comes upon me as I fulfill His plan, as I do it His way. Are you ready to go for it? Jesus in the garden said, not my way, not my will, but Yours be done. He got it. He understood that. And I think sometimes when we come to a crossroads in life, when all of a sudden it's what I want, and then we know, hey, this is what God wants. I want to go this way, but God wants to go this way. He's saying, do that. He's saying, deny myself. He's saying, take this change of life. He's saying, hey, don't worry about that. I've got plan. I got vision. I got purpose. But we got our thoughts, our way. You see, when we can come to a crossroads, all of a sudden we find out whether Jesus is Savior or whether He's Lord. A lot of people want Jesus as Savior. Savior means He saved me. He's a Santa Claus in the sky. I ask Him and He does what I want Him to do so I can fulfill what I want to do. No. But when it becomes Lord, when all of a sudden He becomes the Lord of your life, it's when all of a sudden everything inside of me wants to go that way, but God wants to go that way. And you're going, I just really want to go that way. That's what I want to do. But God wants me to go this way. And you realize, whatever direction you take from there determines whether He's just a Savior or whether He really is your Lord. Savior, go to heaven. It's good. Hey, hallelujah. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. I'm not saying none of that. I'm saying awesome. Awesome. We're walking this way. He's my Savior. I've prayed the prayer. Hey, I'm going to heaven. But there's something different. When you understand destiny and purpose, when you realize you come to this point and you go, I'm scared to go that way. I really want to go that way. But the vision, the destiny, the purpose, the calling. And then all of a sudden we take a step in that direction. All of a sudden we find out He's not just a Savior or Santa Claus in the sky. He's the Lord who gives me the instructions for my walk today. I'll tell you what, you get done doing his instructions, you feel like, woohoo! Oh my gosh! This is so fun. When I did this, this message, this thing in Cheyenne, they asked me all this stuff and I said, hey, do you charge? I said, I'm charged nothing. I don't charge. I said, there's one reason why I'm doing this. Well, there's two. Actually, Dan Irish asked me. I said, I'm doing this because I believe that God is calling me to do this. Now, if you understand, it upset my life, my staff's life, everybody. I was probably more nervous to do that thing than I've in a long time. It would have been a lot easier just to go, I don't need to do that. But God said, do that. And I'll tell you what, I was really nervous. I'm always nervous when I speak. But I was just really nervous. I was, okay, Lord, how's this going? And I put in a lot of time. I mean, we were working extra hours. We were doing so much. I got to the hotel. All I did was work on that message the whole time I was there. It was, but when I was standing there. So if you'd like to make that decision for Jesus, please stand. And I have all these people. All of a sudden I go, wow, Lord, I get the privilege of watching you move. You can't compare that with anything. Not on this side of heaven. Is he your Lord? God answered him in Psalm 103:7. He showed me your way. He says he had made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw what God did. Moses knew why he had done it. Show me your way, Lord. I want to walk your way in lordship, not just as Savior. Thank goodness he's our Savior. But I want this Savior's influence to change me to follow him. Number two, he says it right again. Show me your way that I may know you. Oh God, I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know the way you think. I want to know why that matters to you. I want to know why you would do that. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. I want to know what makes you do what you do and why you do that. I want to know what you like and what you don't like. I want to get to know you in a way, in a revelation that I think like you think. Because I've been around you. Because I know you. I know you. A lot of staff, sometimes something will happen and I'm not here. They'll go, well, I know Pastor Phil won't want to do that. He'll want to do this. I tell you, how do they know that? Because I've been around here enough time. We've interchanged a bunch. And so they just know what I would do before I would do it. Catherine just does it anyway. She knows what I'm going to do. I come back and I go, what did I do? Oh, I did that. Oh, great. How was I? Isn't that how we should be for God? Oh, God, right now, he'd say this to you right now. I know he'd say this. I know God would act just like that. That's how he would. He wanted to know him. He wanted to know him. To know him. That word know is yada, and it means to know by ascertain, to ascertain by seeing, and not just natural vision, but he wanted a spiritual revelation. He wanted to know this awesome God that had called him. This awesome God that opens up the Red Sea. This awesome God that you throw a tree in water, all of a sudden it becomes sweet. Where you hit a rock with a stick and all of a sudden water comes out. Where all of a sudden you pray, Lord, we need some food. And in the morning, all of a sudden there's something supernatural just hanging out on the grass out there that you're picking up. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. I want to know you. In Job 42, 5 and 6, it says, I have heard of you. Remember the whole thing that went with Job and, you know, he's trying to, hey, what's going on here? Why'd you do? I'm a righteous guy. Why is this all this happening to me? He has an encounter with God and all of a sudden, this great stuff happens. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Now my eyes see. I think what he was saying is, Lord, all this stuff happened. I get you. I get you, God. I get you. I want to get God. I want to understand him. I want to know him. In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. If you truly want to know Jesus, then you have to partake of the whole package. You can't just go, I want to know the power. Oh no, you can't know the power unless you know the fellowship of his sufferings, unless you're willing to die for him, unless you're willing to die for self, unless you're willing to deny self and not just, oh, I want just the nice, easy Savior route. No, no, I want the Lord proud. I want to go up and down the mountains. I want to go in the valleys. I want to go everywhere, God. I want to see your power open up a Red Sea. I want to see the power of God touch people and cause water to come out of a rock. I want the anointing of God to be upon me, that when I speak, all of a sudden I say something and I didn't even know I was saying that and God said it. I want to do his business. I want to get him. Get it. Number three, right after he says, and that I might find grace, the third time he says it, in your sight, he wanted grace. We all need grace. And we need to know how amazing that grace is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I have done so many things that should have, God should have wiped me off the face of this map. But God's grace. I need his grace. I don't think grace becomes a concept to us unless we understand the reality of judgment, that we deserve to be judged. I remember years ago when my Creighton was playing football, and we were at a football game. I think it was in Colotus, and Washtuckner, you go to Colotus, there's nobody on that road. And so I picked up after the game, you could take the kids home. So I think I took Creighton, and we took somebody else. I can't remember who else was in the car. Jesse. Oh, Tom knows. Jesse's in the car. So we're both there, and we're driving back, and I'm in Kerry's Malibu. And it was just, 2002 Malibu, something like that. It wasn't nothing. I mean, it was a beautiful car. It was a beautiful car. So I'm driving the car. And, it's Washtuckner to Colotus. There's nobody anywhere. I didn't even see a car anywhere. And so I'm in the car and we're driving. I go, hey, you guys want to see how fast this car will go? So I just floored it and to see if I could get it to 100. Okay. Well, we didn't get there. It started smoking and blew. I'm going, trying to get close to it, and we can't get there. So I take my foot off the accelerator, and now I'm going, you're going from 95, 90, 85, 70. There's a cop. Okay. 60, 60. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this isn't good. This isn't good. And so I see the cop pull out. I go around a corner. I just pull over. I just know it's over. So I pull over and then I'm talking to the kids. I'm going, kids, you should never do what I just did. This was wrong. This is wrong. And I deserve this. I deserve a ticket. This is what, you're not supposed to drive like that. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. This is wrong and all of that. And so the policeman comes up, hey, how you doing? And I go, I'm doing good. How about you, sir? And he goes, hey, you know where I pulled you over? And I go, yeah, I think so. I was only going 70. Actually, I was going 90. No, I didn't tell him that part. But so he looks at me. He goes back and he's starting to, write all the stuff up back there. And I'm just telling the kids, this is why you don't do what you do. This is blah, 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 blah. And I'm just telling, this is wrong. Your sin will find you out. All of these great scenarios about all of that. And then he comes back and he gives me my license and he goes, hey, just slow down from now on and you just enjoy the rest of your day. And I look at him, I go, you're not going to give me a ticket? No, unless you want one. And I go, no, that's great. I don't know. So now we get back in the car and I drive on and I go, kids, that was grace. That's what unmerited favor is all about. It's This is grace. This is what, you know, when you don't, when you deserve a ticket and you don't get a ticket, that's called grace. That's his kindness from God. It doesn't mean anything though if you don't understand that we should be judged. I'm a dirty, rotten, miserable, filthy sinner. It should have been me on that cross. I get it. I'm so thankful for his grace in my life each and every day. He goes on to say, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You see, presence and rest go together. Presence and rest go together. I know my dad, he was a traveling salesman, so he wasn't home all the time. And as a kid, I was upstairs. We had an upstairs and downstairs part of the house. And for my younger years, I was upstairs. And I remember just, oh gosh, I'd be scared at night. And then I could hear my dad snoring. And he was loud. But you know that snoring? For some people, it keeps you up. For me, it put me right to sleep because it said, hey, my dad's here. Everything's okay. My dad's here. He's here, man. Love that. Wish he could snore louder. His presence gave me peace. You need peace that passes all understanding? We need the presence of God then. God, just show up. Show up. Then he said to him, if presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I'm not going anywhere without you. Now, we find out how smart Moses is. He's not stupid. He's going, hey, I got all these people. They're complaining like all everything. And I go everywhere. And everywhere I go, we get to a problem. All of a sudden, the ocean opens up. All of a sudden, I don't have any water. And you bring water. All of a sudden, we don't have any food. And you bring food. He goes, he ain't stupid. He's going, hey, listen, I'm not leading them if you don't go with us. I need your presence because I'm smart enough to know life doesn't go good without you, but it goes fantastic when all of a sudden you're in the driver's seat. I'm not going anywhere without you. I'm not going anywhere without you. Is that our cry? I'm not going anywhere, God, without you. I'm not going to that party without you. I'm not going to work without you. I'm not going home without you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. For how then will it be known that your people and I have, number four, found grace in your sight except you go with us? Grace is the presence of God in your life. How will they know that we've been graced? Because God went with you. His presence is in you. That's my fourth point here. What did he ask for? That your presence go with us. That your presence go with us. If you don't go with us, God, then the journey won't be worth it. Let me say that one more time. If you don't go with us, God, then the journey won't be worth it. And the sooner you find that out in your life, the happier your life will be. If God's not going, I'm not going. The journey won't be worth it unless God is in the midst of it. Moses, living in this, the presence of God. They called his tent the tent of meeting before they built the tabernacle. And Moses would go to his tent of meeting. And when he went to the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud would come upon it. The pillar of fire at night would come upon it. All of a sudden, the presence of God, they knew that that was the presence of God. And all of a sudden, it would just take over his dwelling place. The presence of God was visibly known. Moses in the house. God in the house. And people saw it. They noticed. Do people notice that the presence of God is in your house? Do they notice that the cloud's here? That the fire's here? It is. It is. Do we realize it? Do we partake of it? Do we allow it to change our life? What a relationship Moses had with the Lord. And that's pre-Christ. That's pre-Calvary. That's pre-paying this penalty for our sins. We're post all of that. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The very presence of God is in here. He's in the house. Each and every moment, 24/7. Able to be partaken of. Able to be asked a question. Able to be go, Lord, should I do this or not? Able, he's always there, ready to answer you. Ready to tell you what you need. Ready to help you and anoint you. Open up a Red Sea when you need it. Bring water from a rock somewhere where you least expected it. Solve a problem in it. How did they get? God did it. God did it. He goes on to say this. As I bring it to a conclusion. He said, so we shall be, Moses says this, after all of this, I want this, and I want your presence. And then he says right after that, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. My point here is this. God always intended for us, his people, to be different than the world around us. You're different. You're just a little bit different. You're different. You're different. You're not supposed to blend in. You're not supposed to be like. You're supposed to talk differently. You're supposed to walk differently. You're supposed to act differently. You see, we have the presence of the living God living inside of us. We're different. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. Send his presence. Five is the number of. Fifth time he says, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I know you by name. That pillar of fire and pillar of cloud would rest upon the tabernacle when they built it. And whenever it moved, all of the people moved. Whenever it stayed, all the people stayed. You see, the presence of God will lead you. The presence of God will guide you. When he says stay in a spot, then you need to stay there. When he says move, you need to do something. When he says get out of your shoes and start doing something, move and do something. We need to do it. We need to listen and abide by his presence. He said, stay in God's presence. Don't go anywhere without him. Stay in God's presence. Don't go anywhere without him, without understanding that he's in you. Moses said it. Will you say it as well? Lord, show me your way, not my way. Lord, I want to know you. What you like, what you don't like. I want to find grace, favor in your sight, Lord, because I'm really not very good as a person. I need your unmerited favor. I need your grace. I need your help. And Lord, that your presence would go with me and I'd be aware of it 24/7. Adam and Eve hid from that presence. Cain ran from it. Jonah said, I don't want anything to do with it right now. But Moses ran toward it. Who are you in this story? And that presence, as I said, and I want to conclude with this song that we're going to show you as a video. The presence of the living God is to make you different. Different. Do you want to be different? Listen to this song as we conclude.
I wrote the song Different a few years ago, but I feel like the Lord is teaching it to me in a whole new way right now. A few months ago, we found out that my grandmother has blood cancer. And as hard as it's been to watch her lose her hair as she takes her treatments, her faith has remained intact. A few weeks later, Hurricane Harvey came for my hometown, and in 2 days, poured 44 inches of rain on my house. As we're in the process of replacing flooring and releveling our foundation, we keep waiting on things to get back to normal. And then, just a few weeks ago, we found out that my little brother Daniel has stage 4 colon cancer. After the shock and the tears, my family is preparing to fight by his side as he gets ready to start chemo. And in the midst of all this, the prayer that I kept saying was, Jesus, can you just change these things? Can you stop the cancer? Can you stop the storms? But he's chosen not to stop these things just yet. And I'm finding out that sometimes the best question is not, Jesus, can you change these things around me? But instead, God, can you change me so that I can handle the things that you're walking me through? So I keep singing and praying and believing the words of this song because I know that he is changing me. And that is making all the difference.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, 'cause I don't want to trade your plans for something familiar. I can't waste a day, and I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. I don't wanna spend my life stuck in a pattern, and I don't wanna gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I wanna be. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different. Oh, I know that I am far from perfect, but through you cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you've started.